Before we open God's word, let us pray. Our merciful and gracious Father, thou who art in heaven above, looking down upon thy creation, we thank thee and we are grateful, Lord, that we can gather together again in this afternoon. We pray as we open thy word that thy spirit would be among us and that the presence of Jesus Christ would be in our midst, that we would experience anew his love and care, and that we would know the word, this truth that is eternal, that is open before us. Lord, as we come unto thee, we pray that thou would speak unto us, and that our thoughts and our ways, which are far below thy thoughts and thy ways, would be set aside, and that we would simply listen to what thou would speak unto us. We thank thee for thy faithfulness. We thank thee for thy many blessings. And we ask these favors in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us turn together to read from the Gospel of St. Mark, found in chapter 6, beginning with verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? And he saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them all to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before, unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and drew unto the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through that whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. May the Lord bless the reading. In this passage that we've read of the disciples and Jesus Christ, as I try to put myself in the place of the disciples, I find myself going through their footsteps and finding many demands being placed upon me. And I see much weakness in myself as I go through their experience. And I see how similar that is to my life. It's not just the disciples' experience of being called to serve and to have a lot of demands upon them. Have a lot of things going on, to be stretched thin, and to feel that strength often is lacking. We feel that too. We live lives that there are a lot of demands upon our time, upon our attention. And we at times feel weak. But when we read this story, we see that there are many demands upon our Lord as well. But he always rises to the occasion. He never fails. And he has an abundance of provision. And how grateful we must be that when we come to the Word and we look for not something of strength to encourage myself or cheer myself up about me, but I see Jesus, and I see him providing all that I remember. Yeah, that's not just for the disciples' life. It's not just the stories of the Old Testament where Jesus provided. That's for you and me too. that we are to see Jesus as the one who provides everything for us, the one who's victorious, the one through whom we desire to live and to follow and to serve and to receive from, to be nourished by, and to receive his grace and redemption. And it's amazing to see that whatever the demand that life brings, whatever the demand that was placed upon Jesus, he was able to meet it. He was often going in prayer to his Father, seeking his Father's will, and always doing what pleased his Father. And there was nothing too hard. We talked this morning about knowing the Lord on a personal level. And this is something we can take to heart when we read of Jesus and we see what he did for other people. We see who he is. And then we can then ask ourselves, do I take that to heart? Do I remember that when the needs are pressing and the demands seem so heavy and persistent and one after another, that we go to Jesus? We ask him for strength. We ask him for help. In our time of need, we pray and we believe, we trust, and we find that yes, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the one who provides. He's the one who blesses. We picked up the reading with the apostles gathering themselves together around Jesus. They had gone earlier in the chapter. Jesus sent them out two by two and commanded them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal and to cast out devils, to anoint with oil those that were sick. And the Spirit of the Lord was with them, giving them that strength. And they come back to Jesus and they explain to him all the things that they had done after this work. And Jesus recognized their need of rest. And he said, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." When the needs are pressing and when the demands of life seem like there's no end, do we remember that Jesus sees and that he knows what we need? What a comfort. What a comfort that he does not miss or misunderstand, but he knows exactly what's needed. And so they went. And as the story plays out, many people follow them. And Jesus becomes busy with teaching again. And then needs rise up again. The disciples followed Jesus as he said to go into this desert place. And maybe you would expect that they would be having this time to put up their feet and relax. But that's not exactly what's explained. But in the midst of these pressing needs, the precious gift of God makes itself known to these disciples. Jesus is the rest. Jesus is the Sabbath. He's Lord of the Sabbath. And that he is that for us too. Needs will press. Demands will come. Expectations. But do we have time for Jesus? Do we have time for him to remember that he is our all? That he is the one that provides? And that if he does not take away the burden of responsibility or of the demands of life, yet a moment in his presence and recognizing his love and his care and that he sees and knows and is touched with our experience, and yet that he can provide. He provides the grace to press on. He provides the grace to endure, and then provides the grace to give yet again. He tells his disciples, when the disciples are ready to send the crowds away, he says, give ye them to eat. And they can't figure out what the right direction to go is. And they have questions, and they ask. And there are times when we have decisions before us and we're not exactly sure. Ask. Seek. Knock. The path wasn't exactly plain to them. Jesus didn't give them the solution, but he helped them work through exactly where he wanted them to be. And that can bring anxiety to us because we like to see what the end is. But that's walking with the Lord. That's depending upon him. That's leaning upon him. That's resting in him. And that's our life. That's the process of faith. That we trust the Lord, we ask him. The questions that we can ask and the things that he doesn't reveal, we leave that up to him. But Jesus gives them advice and says, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. Here's the first step. Listen to Jesus. He gives you instructions. There might be 20 things on your list of things that you have to do and you don't know how to approach any of them. But what about the thing that you do know? Address it. Face it. Bring it to the Lord. And ask maybe just for that next step. And so they go. This is something they can do. They went and they found out and they said 5 and 2 fishes. And it's very meager. It's not a lot. It's barely enough for one person's lunch. And then Jesus, he knew what he was going to do. He says, make all of them to sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down by ranks, by hundreds and by fifties. Scripture says that God is a God of order. And there's a particular order that he desires for our lives. And here is an example of Jesus saying, sit down in order. And then Jesus takes the loaves, the 2 fish. He looks up to heaven, blesses, and breaks the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they all did eat and were filled. The Lord provided this miracle of enough food for 5,000 men and beyond the maybe the women and the children that were there as well. The disciples obeyed Jesus' command to set things in order and to serve. And Jesus longs for our lives to be set in order and for us to serve. And when we do, it is like the branch being firmly placed and drawing from the vine. Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you. Without me, you can do nothing. But with Jesus Christ," he says, "you'll bear much fruit. And the blessing comes from the Lord." Our part is to set our lives in order according to his command and to be willing to serve. And Jesus provides everything that we need. There's nothing too great. There's nothing too hard. And our hearts can take great comfort, because this week we don't know what we might face. We don't know what demands might be placed upon us. We don't know what challenges will come before us. But we do know. We do know because we can read in faith of Jesus Christ that there is no problem too difficult that he cannot solve, or a mountain too big that he cannot move. No storm too dark that he cannot calm. And no sorrow too deep that he cannot soothe it. Jesus, in his life and in his ministry, rose to the occasion each and every time to meet man's need. And in his death and resurrection, he is also our victor, and he has come to our aid and provided exactly what we are in need of in salvation, in hope of eternal life. And he gave it this time. He denied himself throughout the scripture. He took upon himself the cross that we should have had for ourselves. And he gave, and he gave, and he gave. And he overcame death, and he overcame sin. And his name is highly exalted above all names. And the world says, take and take and take. It's so opposite. Jesus is showing us a better way. That way of charity and love that Paul talked about. He's living it out. He's brought it into flesh and blood. And he lived it. And he invites us to join. The disciples hear their next account is on the boat, and they're rowing and they're toiling. Again, the needs are pressing. And then they realize that someone is walking upon the water. This is not how it's supposed to be, and they don't understand. But Jesus calls to them and says, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Whenever an angel or the Lord would appear to a person within the scriptures, there's often a fear. And rightly so. Rightly so. And yet, the first statement of the angel or of the Lord as they approach one of God's servants is, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid because he is near." That is a wonderful reminder and should cheer our hearts. When we are busy in toiling, when we are busy not to forget that the Lord is near, to be of good cheer that he's close, and to love his appearing. Apostle Paul took great comfort in knowing that the Lord had prepared a crown of righteousness for him and for all those that love his appearing. And here he's coming at a very unexpected time. But thank God that he does make himself known, perhaps at unexpected times, when we are off guard. And he can do that. And yet we're also taught in the scripture to seek for him, to be looking for him, to have our eyes open to how he is working, to what he's saying, and how he wants our attention, to bring joy to our hearts again, to take our minds away from the toil, away from the curse, and unto his promise, his precious promise that he has come. He took a crown of thorns. He took all the thorns that came to Adam in the ground, that the ground gave to Adam when he sowed the seed and he toiled on the ground. And Jesus took all of that. Took that upon himself. And he brought us blessings. He brought us gifts. He provides for our needs. How quickly the disciples forgot. And how quickly we forget the good things. How easy it is when our lives are full of blessing. And I speak to myself first. My life is full of blessing. And yet one small thing that doesn't go my way, how quickly it can make me sore because I'm forgetful. And how good it is that we come together to read the Word, to be reminded that, yes, we need constant reminder of the miracle, the miracles that take place that Jesus has done for us, the ones that he's doing around us, the way that he's provided so that we can come to this point, the blessing of each precious soul that comes to hear the Word of God, the support and the love of each brother and sister that calls upon the Lord with a pure heart, that can encourage, that can share. So many blessings, so many miracles. Oh, for a heart that is open and soft to remember them. And finally, they go to the other side, into the land of Gennesaret. And when they came out of the ship, straightway, or right away, immediately, the people recognized him. They knew him. And they started bringing the needs again. The needs of life will continue to press. But Jesus meets them all. We have in our hymn book, "Come ye who here have any need, Jesus can supply them all indeed." And that is what we see happening in this city. Whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick into streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, if it would just be just a little bit even. But if it's a little bit of the true, that is better than truckloads of the false. And how he meets the need. And as many as touched him were made whole. whatever and whithersoever he entered, where Christ enters in, where Christ indwells the heart, he makes a change. He provides healing. He provides wholeness. He is present with us. And we are not alone. Thanks be to God for his many gifts. And in the many ways that they're applied, it says he comes to villages or to cities or to country. And he comes into the lives of people with very different backgrounds. Some who are very easy to socialize or to be with other people. And he can be present in their midst. Some are more quiet and reserved and don't have as much to say. But he loves and sees and cares for them too. It does not matter. He is what all mankind needs. He is what we need. And our condition is not so different that he does not know and that he does not care. So thanks be to God for his blessing and his gift, that Jesus can be all in all to us. It's my prayer that as we've taken this time to meditate on how Jesus met the need, that as the needs would press into our lives and as we would be about our business, that we would often take time to remember how Jesus cares, how he is our all in all, and to give him the thanks and the praise for all that. Amen.
This morning we petitioned our Lord for a blessing. We lauded his name in worship, and truly I think we can all testify that God has truly blessed us. And in this morning's message, Brother Zach spoke about the testifying of a soul identifying that God is his Lord. And I thought about ownership. Thought came to mind is ownership. And as Brother Robert was expounding on this message of God, of Jesus providing, the doctrine of adoption came to my heart. And maybe a good verse that would maybe sum up the day would be one that Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans. Brother Robert spoke a little bit about fear too. And here Apostle Paul says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." You see, when we're adopted into this household of faith, Christ claims ownership of us. And here in Romans 8, it speaks about the Holy Spirit being a seal or a stamp or a mark on one's soul, identifying whose we are. And in that adoption, in each one of us being adopted into the household of faith, and even the new souls that are adopted into our family of faith here, there is a oneness, a familial oneness. There's families among us here, and in Mansfield also, off the top of my head, that have adopted orphans. And I challenge any of us to say that they're not their own. Would God look on us and say, "He is not mine," with the seal of the Spirit upon our hearts? There is a love in the adoption of a child. Apostle Paul also tells the Corinthians here. He says, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate," or you could even put holy here, holy being set apart. "Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Adoption. And here's what God says, "And I will be a father unto you, O ye orphan, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." What an opportunity, my soul outside of Christ, that you have to be adopted into the family of faith to be adopted into a family of love, and to have the everlasting arms hold you when you're hungry, and when you need something to eat, and when the storms are round about you, and you're afraid, and you're scared. He is there like a father. He gave us new birth, that we may be one, that we may be in his family. So praise God for that doctrine of adoption, that we are adopted into this household of faith, that he calls us sons and daughters. Sons and daughters, my brothers and sisters, of the Most High God, how can we not rejoice? How can we not give him our lives? And how can we not cry out in saying, Abba, Father? That's a term, an endearing term. Daddy, like something that's, it's informal, but it's something that's so close, that you're close to your Father. And that's what's offered. Take hold of it, my soul, outside of Christ. You won't regret it. Because it's a family of faith that's sure. It's a family of faith that will last and will stand and will be there when the storms come and rage. May the Lord bless the word that has gone out in this day. And may we continue to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen.